Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Tony, and welcome, everyone, to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Extended Sites Business Model in WebSphere Commerce version 6.0. Today's presenter is Alex Lin. Alex is one of the pioneers in the WebSphere Commerce Technology Practice Team. In his role, he is responsible for harvesting and developing WebSphere Commerce Solutions best practices. Alex has been instrumental in the design, implementation, and deployment of numerous large WebSphere Commerce solutions. Alex is also a subject matter expert in the Extended Sites model, a popular business model offered in WebSphere Commerce. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Alex. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Christy. I'm going to talk about the WebSphere Commerce 6.0 Extended Sites business model. And I'm going to follow the agenda on page 2, so if you can flip to the next page, please. I'm going to, first of all, give you a quick overview of what is Extended Sites, and then followed by some business scenarios that illustrate how Extended Sites are usually used in typical project that we do for our customer. After that, I'm going to go through some simple steps to create an extended site store, and this is important because it has slightly different flavor than just this pure store publishing that all of us are used to. And then after that, I'm going to just give a brief overview on the extended site packaging and the what we call the extended site .sar, and you'll get a little bit more detail on that. Following those two discussions, I'll go through the organization structure. I'll discuss how behind the scene, Extended Sites is organized in terms of its org structure. And then there will be a brief talk on the common line of business user tasks and where they can be performed using tooling Extended Sites. And then following that topic, we'll go through what's new in version 6 for Extended Sites, followed by remodeling and extended into Extended Site. That will talk about how we can convert a non-Extended Site store into an Extended Site store. And we have a methodology to do it in our own practice here. Last but not the least, we will go through some commonly encountered problems, just a couple of them, just some popular ones that people usually ask and see in their projects, and also some FAQs will follow at the end. Last but not least, we'll have some additional references for you that you can get more information on extended sites. So page 3, please. So let's just quickly go through what is extended sites. It's a powerful business model. That's one of the indirect business models offered by WebSphere Commerce 6.0 Enterprise Edition. Now, the other indirect business models include supply chain, demand chain, extended demand chain. But extended sites has been around since version 5.6, and the main powerful feature in this business model is about sharing. Sharing of assets across many hosted stores, as you'll see later on in different scenarios, this will become a very instrumental piece in this business model. A few scenarios that I'll go through in the next few pages include multiple brands, multinational sales, multiple retail geographies, multiple market segments, the enterprise account scenario, franchising scenario, and partner sites. And as you will have very good examples of how extensive sites can be leveraged in these different scenarios. So page 4, please. So the first scenario surrounds multiple brands. What this means, for example, is that in big companies like, for an example, Williams Sonoma, they have different brands, Pottery Barns, Williams Sonoma, HoldEverything.com. These are all different brands. The key here is that there's a subset of products that is available through each of these brands, but overall, they have a lot of common things in place, such as products that is available in all three brands. The look and feel of the store might be similar, if not the same, across some of the brands. So So commonality in some cases and differentiation in others. What extended site will allow you to do is to be able to share a common catalog in this case and kind of filter out just the subset of products available for each brand and show them to customers on each sites accordingly. Now, in this scenario, checkout is done separately for each brand, i.e. there's no shared shopping cart. And as you'll hear later on, extended sites actually does not provide shared shopping cart out of the box. Marketing campaigns in here can be unique to each brand, or it can be shared across many brands. It's up to the administrator or the line of business user to dictate that. So that's multiple brands. Next page, please. Page 5. Multinational sales. Slightly different flavor than multiple brands, in that is, for example, it's one brand, but you have different sites in different regions in the world. For example, IKEA has a site for North America, has a site for Asia, has a site for Europe. All these sites, again, can share a common catalog, sell very similar products, maybe some specific products only available in North America, while others are only available in Europe. But most of the things that is available through the site are the same. The look and feel definitely here is almost identical. Even the page flow, the site flow, everything is almost identical. The key here is that each of the sites may have their own language, their own currency, their own marketing campaigns. Shipping tax rules can vastly be different across the world, and also inventory. Now you can configure on that level whether these elements or these attributes for the site should be unique to a specific country or region. So this is another example of where extended sites can be used. One brand, but many, many sites for different parts of the world. Next page, please. Next scenario I'm going to talk about is called multiple retail geographies. It may sound very similar to the multinational scenario, but here, let me just give you an example. Home Depot, for example, if you walk in a store, they have thousands and thousands of stores across the state. But what you'll not find in Miami Home Depot is a snow shovel. Where you'll find a snow shovel, maybe in Buffalo or in New York, but definitely not in Miami or California for that matter. Now, this is another example of where the bulk of the catalog, let's say a screwdriver, is available throughout the state. All Home Depot stores sell the same screwdriver. But the snow shovel, some specific products, are only available for a specific region. Now, again, leveraging that extended site sharing capability will allow the company or the customer, in this case Home Depot, to have different sites for each region in the country. And the different region of the country can have specific filtering techniques or requirements so that the appropriate products will show up with different prices even for that particular store. So very powerful feature, again, leveraging the sharing capability of extended sites to provide this kind of capability to your customer. Next page, please. So multiple market segment deals with customer who sells a number of different marketing segments, each of which requires access to different product sets, i.e. different products, prices, and site capabilities. Now, let me give you another example. Let's say, for example, that a huge bookstore, let's say it might be Amazon, right, who sells to different marketing segments. So, for example, Amazon sells to colleges, right, or universities. It also sells directly to customers or shoppers visiting their site directly. This, again, is another example or scenario where extended sites can help. Because of the sharing capability, extended sites can provide a common catalog, right, for all your different sites selling to B2C or end users, right, and a separate catalog that can be shared among B2B or companies that Amazon sells to. Here, the key point in this scenario is that extended sites does support a hybrid or a mixture of different store model flavors, such as B2B and B2C at the same time. So what you'll notice then is, for example, in Amazon's case, they'll have a common catalog, for example, for all the colleges and all the universities, and then they'll also have a common catalog and a common storefront for all the B2C typical shoppers. This is something, again, that when we hear about customers mentioning about these specific requirements, we think of extended sites. Next page, please. On page 8, enterprise account. This leans more on the B2B side now. A lot of big customers, especially, for example, selling supplies, office supplies, have very specific requirements in terms of a site created for a particular customer. For example, let's say Office Depot or Staples, doesn't matter, just for illustration purpose, do a lot of procurement and a lot of selling for to big companies like IBM, like HP, but each of their customers, for example, IBM, would expect a very different look and feel, very different site, and very different products and prices versus another site for HP. So in this case, what extended site can offer, again, is, again, single management of catalog or even marketing campaigns, for example, but different types of products being available. On the storefront side, when you talk about the site flow and all the look and feel of the store, it can be vastly different from one customer to another. IBM would expect, you know, type A kind of site. HP would expect type B kind of site. That's fine, but behind the scene, a lot of the common assets can be shared, minimizing your maintenance costs and complexity in your everyday operations. So to Staples or Office Depot, these kind of companies, again, extended sites can be something that they can leverage. Next page, please. Page 9. Franchises. Okay. So give you a little bit more background. Extended sites came from the old hosting model. Here we kind of leverage what the first capability of the hosting model came up with, kind of a B2C hosting. What this scenario illustrates here is that as a franchisor, let's say, if a cosmetic company does a lot of franchising, and they have different franchisees selling products, what they can do is use extended sites and create a storefront for each of the franchisees that signs up. From the franchisor point of view, you're providing a common catalog with your control of prices and products that can be sold on each individual site. Now, you can also gain control on the exact look and feel of your franchisee site, i.e., here's the template, here's the site flow, and this is all you're going to get. From a marketing point of view, you can push marketing campaigns. Let's say I have this great powder or blush for sale, and I'm going to give 50% off all this line, the entire line. Right? Just great sale for the year. Want to push out some inventory, for example, I give a 50% off the entire line to all my franchisees. So people going into, shoppers going to each franchisee store will see 50% off the same product across, doesn't matter which franchisee store he or she visits. On the other hand, you can also let the franchisee determine whether they want to push specific marketing campaigns or promotions. Okay? Next page, please. Page 10. Partner site. Now, this is very similar to franchisee scenario, but with less limitations. Whereas the franchisee scenario dictates not only the catalog and what you can sell and at what price, it also dictates the franchisor dictates the look and feel. Here, what we're trying to show is if you're going kind of in a partner scenario, let's say IBM sells through a lot of partners, each of that partners will have a subset of IBM products that he or she can sell. But the partners actually control the look and feel of the site. So we remove that constraint of here's the only template, here's the only site flow, and here are the products you can sell. We remove that constraint from the franchisee scenario. We give more control to the partners themselves. Okay, so I'm going to pause here for a minute because I want to recap what we just talked about so far. We talked about what extended sites, and I also illustrated a handful of business scenarios where extended sites can apply. Next, I'm going to talk about how to create an extended site store. So page 11, please. When we talk about extended sites, there's a unique tool only applicable for extended sites, and that's called a store creation wizard. You will not find this tool when you work with the regular consumer direct store, nor the advanced B2B direct store. What this tooling will give you is to be able to let you step through a number of screens, very simple and quick process to create a storefront. Why is it important to understand this versus store publishing? It's because a lot of people misunderstand the fact that after you publish the extended site business model through the admin console, you're ready to shop. That's not the case. You're not ready to shop. There is no storefront. There's nothing that anyone can point a browser to that will show you a catalog. You won't even have a store. What you'll have, as you'll see in the next few slides, are assets and things put in place for you during the store publishing process that will allow you to create a storefront. The actual creation of a storefront is done through what we call store creation wizard. This is a unique step that applies to extended sites. So as you'll see, you know, the screen themselves might not be very clear here, but there's only a six-step process. Unlike store publishing, which may take up to, you know, 20 or 30 minutes in some cases, creating a store using this wizard, store creation wizard, only takes 2 to 3 minutes. I'm going to quickly step through each slide and just give you a feel of what's involved on each of these screens. Next page, please, is the first screen cap, page 12. So when you launch the store creation wizard and you do so in Accelerator, you will see a general screen that will allow you to put in store name, identifier, and description, and what currency you want the store to use, and what organization you want to create it under. Now, I'm not going to go into details as to how you want to differentiate or how you want to determine which is the best organization you want to create each store under, because it's that different from customer to customer. But essentially, it's basic information captured here. As you'll see on the screen, you can actually select different currency if you're doing different website for different countries, like the multinational scenario I talked about. Then when you create a store for, let's say, Europe, you create it under the euro currency, whereas you create a store for the States, then you create one for U.S. That's step one. Step two, please, the next screen.
And if I could just interrupt for a moment, just as a reminder, we recommend that you view the presentation in full screen mode. To do this, go to the view in the toolbar at the top of your screen and select Make Shared Area Full Screen. Thank you.
So step number two in store creation process, we'll let you select store type. Now remember, we talk about different marketing segments. This is a scenario where I mentioned extended site supports a hybrid of B2B and B2C flavor sites. And here's where you select it. In that drop-down box, you'll have the option to select either a consumer direct flavor type of store or an advanced B2B flavor type of store. That will give you a store that will gear towards your B2B or B2C customer. So that's step two. Next page, please, page 14. Catalog screen is where you select whether you want a common shared catalog that's going to be available for different types of stores, or you want a unique catalog or no catalog at all. These three options exist on this particular page. Now, if you already have a B2B site, for example, and you want to create another one that uses the same shared catalog, you can do so here by selecting the same catalog in the asset store. Next page, please. Page 15. The next step will allow you to choose payment methods available for the new store that you're creating. Depending on what you want to do, here we illustrate more like a B2C flavor where customers usually pay by a credit card method. So you can select different brands, different options that will be exposed to the customer during checkout. Again, payments can, if you kind of think about it, this means that the payment method for each store can be different. Okay, because when you can specify that store A only pays by Visa, store B can pay by MasterCard, and store C all of the above. Okay, next screen. We're on page 16. Page 16 shows you just a quick summary. As you can see, we're only on the fifth screen, and we're almost there. And it's just a recap of what you entered in the previous screen. Make sure everything is in place before you actually create the store. Next page, please. Page 17. After you click confirm on the previous page, the store publishing process will begin. A scheduled job will be kicked off to create the proper assets, the proper association in the database for you to use that new store. And this last screen here just shows you that, hey, you're done. Here's the link. And you're basically ready to shop in that new store that's being created by the store creation wizard. Next page, please. Okay, so after I kind of gave you an overview of the store creation process, what I'd like to talk about now is the extended sites packaging. Let me just put in context of why this slide and the next slide is very important. What we found people or customers do a lot of time is wanting to the ability to put in their customized assets into a deployable format so that it can be easily deployed to different environments. Let's say you set up a new testing environment or you set up a new production environment, you want to put in a store with all your customized assets. Now, the store file that comes out of the box has all the sample data and everything in it, okay? But it does not have your customized assets in it. After customization, what a lot of our customers start to do is to put in those customization assets back into a customized version of the SAR file, and then take that SAR file and publish it using different the administration console to a new box when the need arrives. So I'm just going to walk through what the extended sites packaging has in terms of SAR files and give you a little bit more detail into what you can do in terms of customizing these SAR files. There's a kind of a mother of all SAR files for extended sites that's called Composite Store Archive, and it has everything you need to publish extended sites. So usually what you do in the beginning is you just publish this big SAR file to put the extended sites business model into your system. That's number one. On top of those, what you have are component store archives that will give you more granular control as to what elements you want to publish. So, for example, you have the extended site organization structure SAR. Now, this only contains the access control information and how the org structure should be set up. All that information is contained in this little component SAR file. Again, if you need to customize your org structure, here's where you want to go in and change the customized assets. The next one is store directory.SAR. And that contains all the assets for the kind of a mall directory. So, again, extended sites, you can actually see all the store in the list, and this is where all the assets are kept. Extended sites hub.sar gives you all the required assets to give you a hub. And extended sites, a hub, is kind of a central management tool where you actually see different extended sites and you actually create your or launch a store creation wizard from the hub. The extended sites catalog asset store.sar will contain assets required to create a catalog asset store along with data in it. So what you will see here is if you want to create a new catalog asset store to be shared, let's say for two of the new stores that you'll be creating, instead of having to republish everything again, what you can do is just select this little component SAR file and say publish and give the appropriate information so that and just a new catalog asset store will be created in the background. And flexibility is there for you to create only parts of the extended sites model. Last two there deals with the actual storefront, and
One is for consumer direct, the other is B2B direct, which means a B2B flavor type of storefront. And these, again, can be used to publish a new set of assets, particularly for a B2B or B2C store. And your customized JSPs and storefront assets should go in this SAR file if you want to customize this SAR file. Next page, please. So 19 here, kind of a little bit deeper view into what's actually in the component, not the composite extended sites.sar, kind of the mother of all SAR files. As you'll see, a lot of similarities here. If you blow that up, that SAR file up, uncompress it, you'll see directories or folders on the left side. So you'll see you have the B2B flavor and you have the B2C flavor of asset store. And those contain all the JSPs and images for the associated type of store. The meta-inf is something that contains information for the store publishing tool. Star-inf, this is where you can change some of the or customize the behavior of the publishing, because you'll find files in here and configuration parameters that the store publishing wizard will look at. The tools directory will give you the flexible files, i.e. some file-based assets that will be used by either B2B or B2C stores. WebInf is the mass load data. So again, if you have your own data or you want to get rid of the sample data, what you need to do is either clean up the XML in here or create your own XML container or customer-specific data and put it in here as well. The XML directory, last but not least, contains the member registration attributes of XML. What that file will give you, for those who don't know what that is the ability to configure default behavior when it comes to registering new customer. So what the new user, what roles they'll get, which organization he or she would belong to, et cetera, is controlled by this file. Next page, please. Page 20 gives you kind of the overall structure of the extended sites organization tree. So if you look at the blue part, the created from bootstrap data, that's basically there before you publish. Right? So when you publish the extended sites.sar, the purple components will be created. There will be a seller org that's created under root, as well as extended sites org. And extended sites org will contain two sub-organizations, one called asset store org, which will hold all the asset store for presentation purposes. So your JSPs and your images will go under these asset store. On the right-hand side, extended site hub store, hub org will contain the actual hub and also the catalog asset store that will contain your catalog. And after publishing, the next step obviously is to create a store, whatever store you need, B2B, B2C, using a store creation wizard that I just talked about previously, and that's illustrated here in the red part. What essentially happens in the background when you use that store creation wizard is presentation will be created under the seller org. If you create a B2C, it's going to be B2C store org. A B2B will have a different org associated with it. But the red arrows at the bottom is where store relationship, or sometimes called store path, are set up during that process as well. If you choose to have a member, there was an option to choose to have which catalog you want to use. If you choose the asset store catalog asset store, then a store path or store relationship will be set up between the newly hosted store and the catalog asset store. Similarly, when you choose the presentation, which type you want to use, store path will be set up accordingly as well. Page 21, please. Some common tasks, just high level. You can read this a little bit yourself later on in more details, but I just want to highlight the little X there, sales catalog. A lot of people ask me this question and say, hey, I love sales catalog, and they're available in the typical consumer direct or advanced B2B direct store, but I can't seem to access that tool when it comes to extended sites. It's just not there. Is that a bug? Well, here's a limitation. Let's just call it a little bit, put it that way. It's a limitation we have from the sales catalog tooling. that we'll try to resolve in future releases. We're not quite there yet, but we're trying to get there. The problem right now is that the sales catalog tooling does not take into consideration any filtering effects. So because the filtering does not apply to the usual consumer direct store, we can enable the sales catalog. But in extended sites, remember, when you share a catalog, you can actually configure what products are available to be sold in each of the hosted stores that uses that shared catalog. But the way you do that is to use catalog filtering techniques to filter out inappropriate products that don't apply to a specific site. The problem is sales catalog does not take into consideration those filtering rules, and it'll show you everything. That's okay if you know what you're doing and you know that certain products will not appear anyway. Okay. The runtime, though, will support the filtering. So if you do need to, you can actually enable the sales catalog tooling, keeping in mind this limitation, and still use it to configure your sales catalog. At runtime in your storefront, the filter products will disappear, and despite the fact that you included them in sales catalog through the tool, but it will still work. So it's just deliberately disabled by default, but it can be re-enabled manually. Next page, please. So what's new in version 6.0 for extended sites? We have a major change in terms of how we configure what we call the command registry back in 5.6 and before then. We had this two tables called ViewReg and YourReg for those who are familiar with them. Those contain information as to what JSPs are used and how we map specific URL requests to certain commands or certain JSPs. Those two tables are gone in version 6 because now we use the REST framework. Out of the box, though, we have, because of the struts, the store publishing will be able to update a new file called struts-config extension.xml. This basically is the replacement of the view-reg and the URL-reg tables. The third point that is extremely important is also great news for those of us who actually deploy commerce in an ND environment, in a cluster environment. Beforehand, we couldn't really automatically propagate any file-based assets using the ND manager. What we do have here, though, in version 6, is a huge improvement where now we can actually propagate file assets as well as other data and updates via the ND manager automatically. So things like, you know, page flow or flex flow, these are file-based assets, or your resource bundle, for example. These are all file-based assets that can be now handled by WAS ND manager automatically. Great news for those of us who actually work in ND environments. Next page, please. 23. Okay. Well, so what's new in version 6 for extended sites? Well, the main message here is that all major changes are actually in basic consumer and advanced B2B direct store. But there is a look, and these two stores have very new and very fresh look and feel. They actually gave it a big overhaul and facelift. And in doing so, they also came up with a common framework that will allow B2B and B2C store to share many of the assets such as the sidebar, navbar, et cetera, et cetera. It used to be that if you want to leverage for example, a navigation bar in a B2B store and try to move that over to a B2C store, well, it's not really a trivial job, but now with the new framework, that's a lot more easy to do. Similarly, there's a lot more JSP snippets that's being shared across the B2B and B2C store flavor. So beforehand, again, if your feature was enabled in an advanced B2B store in terms of snippets, it's not really, again, easy job to move it over to a consumer direct store. Now it is. It will be very easy. Next page, please. 24. I'm just going to go quickly through some feature enhancement for the basic consumer direct or the advanced B2B direct store. So now advanced B2B store can be configured to support guest shopping as well as registered shoppers. Beforehand, it was only registered shoppers. Started store now, all of them will have better caching strategy, i.e., the cacheback XML has been rewritten to leverage full-page caching with exclusion rather than fragment caching. Full-page caching with exclusion is the recommended way to use dynamic cache in this scenario. Store page, store now with display tier pricing if they set up an accelerator. That's applied to both stores, the B2B and B2C store. Content spot, something new in version 6, are also being displayed and leveraged in both B2B and B2C store. Attachments, again, something new to version 6, can now be shown automatically out of the box in the basic B2B and B2C store. And at store publish time, what you can do now is to choose your inventory system beforehand. It was, now, here's the default setting, and you don't like it, go ahead and change it in the database. Now you can actually have that option of selecting your inventory system as well as your sample data during store publishing. That again applies to B2B and B2C store. Next page, please. 25 gives you more enhancement. Future orders also applies to both types of stores. Now you can actually set a request date in the future. Expedite order. Shopper can determine if they want to expedite their order. That only applies to advanced B2B. Shipping instruction now can be attached, something new in version 6, during checkout, and that applies to both B2B and B2C store. Similarly for the last two bullets there, also available for both B2B and B2C store. Now you can determine or state whether you want to ship as complete or partial shipment, and also specify multiple payment types in terms of, your pay, for example, if you have $1,000, you can do $200 in one credit card, $200 in the second type of credit card, and the rest on line of credit, for example. Okay, so 26, please. Next page. Okay, so now, after a talk about, you know, different aspects of extended sites, scenarios, the creation process, and then some packaging information, the org structure, and just wrap up with some updates on version 6, the last topic I want to touch on is remodeling into extended sites. So a lot of our customers, what we found out there, we see people doing is trying to convert their, let's say, consumer direct store into a consumer direct store, but now running an extended site. So if you have a new deployment, it's easy. All you got to do is start with extended site, create a consumer direct store under it, and start doing your work, customization, and then launching your store under extended site. But what if you had already did all the work in a consumer direct store? What can you do to move into extended site? Now you want to create more stores that share the same catalog. We have a proven methodology that has been used last year, couple of years, for a number of times. And I just want to give you an analogy before I dive into the more specific aspect and technical aspect of this process. So as you will see here, the analogy is like moving to a new home. So on the left is your current home, right? You're saying, you know what, I like to get a brand new home. So you go to these new construction sites, you check things out, you determine that I want this model and this builder, and you sign a check, you sign an offer, and you buy a new home. So on the right-hand side, your new home is being built. First needs to be built by the builder. And after it's done, the builder says, hey, here's the key. You're now ready. It's all yours. You're not going to just basically go in and sleep there right away. What you need to do then is to determine how you want to move your current furniture, your bed, your sofa, your table, your chair. All of those you need to move over to the new house before you can actually move in. So step two is to move your furniture. And step three, after everything is cleaned up and it's ready to be moved in, you go ahead and then move in and start staying at your new home. That's the overall analogy. Let's go to page 27, next slide, and we'll see how that analogy applies to remodeling into these sites. So in our analogy, building a new house here refers to four steps. One, you install Enterprise Edition. I'm assuming that beforehand a lot of people runs on Pro, the Pro Edition, which does not have extended sites. So you install Enterprise Edition on a separate machine, brand new machine. It's like building a new house. And then you publish the extended sites model using the admin console. And you create a new hosted store using the store creation wizard that I talked about earlier. And if you need any tweaking of the org structure, actually most of the time people need some tweaking, you need to associate different members, association access control policy that needs to be changed. you know, just by default, what are the kind of things you need to massage in your new box? Do that first. Once you ensure that the new configured e-size model that you just published works, then you test and make sure that everything is settled. That's just the building a new house phase. Now, moving the furniture means you take the assets and the data in your current Pro machine or Pro edition, and you basically transfer it over to a new Enterprise edition box. And that includes the member data, catalog data, order data, customization code in terms of Java code, your storefront assets such as your JSP, your images. All those customization assets need to be moved to the new box. And after that, you perform regression testing. At the end of the day, what you want to do is make sure that the same store runs now in the extended sites model within the new box, the Enterprise Edition box. Last but not least, you deploy the store. That's like moving in. You're done. To the customer, to shoppers going into the store, it's transparent. They don't even know you actually moved to extended sites. Except if they be really careful, they might spot a change in the store ID. But that's about it. Now, I need to stress the importance of an assumption we have for this methodology. That is, we only assume an addition upgrade, i.e., this methodology will not be as simple as you see here if you're going from, let's say, a version 5.6 Pro Edition to a version 6.0 Enterprise Edition and try to also remodel into extended sites at the same time. It's not as easy as you as described here. This methodology only assumes an addition upgrade, i.e., from Pro to Enterprise under the same version. If you're going across different versions, you're talking about first a migration project or migration effort and then a remodeling effort, two steps. Here is referring to the latter steps. Next page, please, 28. So, again, going back to a B2C example, here's the remodeling process. The important piece here is the green part where now you see we move the existing the catalog data, the customers, and the storefront assets into the new, newly set up extended sites business model. Take 29, please. Remodeling effort, again, ballpark sizing, and just keep that assumption in mind. We're not doing a version upgrade. This is an edition upgrade, and this is very brief and high level, and really depends on your team and the skills they have. You need to install BE, well, what's called Business Edition now, it's called Enterprise, so that should be EE, and publish the e-size model. If you're proficient in that, you should be able to do it in a day, in a very simple environment. Of course, if you have more complicated, such as a cluster environment, it will take a few more days. And then your design, you configure, and you test your org tree. That's like the building your new home piece, right, part of that process, and that takes about a week. Migrating existing data is moving your furniture. That's a couple weeks. You know, sometimes you need some tweaking here and there. So allow 1 to 2 weeks for that. And also the amount of assets and the data you need to move over also affects the time required for this step. And last but not least, doing some regression testing. That will be determined by your own team as to how much regression testing is needed. And so all in all, this is like a 3 or 4 weeks of effort at most. But it'll give you, and these are person weeks, by the way, but it'll give you a platform in terms of a new business model that you can run your business on and create a lot more hosted store and share all the assets across it, that, in that kind of environment. Next slide, please. Okay. Because of time constraint, I'm not going to go in details, but this is just for your reference of some common problems that we have seen. And this particular slide here, slide 30, illustrates that, you know, some people says, oh, I'm not able to bring up an extended site store after publishing. I mentioned about it. And that's because you have not done the store creation process yet. You have not gone through that process using the wizard to create a store. Again, the important thing to remember is extended sites, after you publish it using admin console, you don't have a storefront yet. Use the store creation wizard to complete the rest of the story. Next slide, please. 31, I'll leave to you to read the details, but essentially there's a little defect in one of the sample promotion XML, and that will give you the error you see here. So if you do see the error, you can refer to this slide or go on the support website to to see how you could correct it. It's a very simple correction process. 32. Go through a few FAQ quickly. I mentioned the first one already, the 6-minute set support sales can lock. The runtime does. The tooling is disabled by default, but you can enable it. The limitations around the catalog filtering is not an issue for you. Number two, question, can extended site support B2B and B2C? Yes, and I illustrated that through the multiple market segment scenario. And can all access shared across the hosted store? Now, this is a very popular and important question that I get very often. No, not all assets can be shared. Two of the major assets that cannot be shared currently is number one, shopping cart, and number two, inventory. Shopping cart and inventory is still handled on the hosted store basis. So if you, for example, have different brands, use extended sites, you cannot put different products from different brands into the same order. Right? Each, when you jump from one site to the other, the shopping cart is a different shopping cart. Next page, please, 33. How many hosted store can extended site instant support? There's no technical limit as to how many you can create using a store creation wizard, but just keep in mind that you should consider performance implications. Every one of that store will need a little bit more hardware resources, so you know you can expect your hardware to perform when you scale up using a lot of these extended site stores. So do some testing and determine how many boxes or how much hardware you need. Is there an easy way to delete a store? Yes, there is. You can launch the accelerator and you manage the hub. And then there's the option under View Store Menu that says Delete. When you say you can check out the store you want to delete and press OK, it'll get rid of that store. But it's also a great idea to run the dbclean utility after the store is being deleted just to clean up the database. Next slide, please. Some additional references for you. That's just FYI. The Info Center has lots of good information on extended sites. There are some red books out there. There's actually two red papers on some extended sites and some of the important concepts in terms of accounts and contracts. The last paper there is a great paper. It talks about a little bit more in detail. It's the remodeling standard store, something I talked about here on a high level. You can read more about it in that paper there. Okay. Last slide, please. That's just a summary. What you heard. Next slide, please, 36. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for registered products. Developer works offer in-depth technical information. The events link on support page points you to webcast and conference information, so you can visit registry.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up and the learning curve quickly, and the ESR tooling is for password advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And then last but not least, the My Support link on all product page will let you sign up for a weekly email update for products of interest to you. Last slide, please. Okay, now I'm going to turn it back over to Christy.
Thank you, Alex, for a great presentation. And at this point, Tony, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to Alex Lynn.
Thank you. If you'd like to signal to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your phone. And we'll go to Stefan Edgard.
Yes, that's right. Hello. I have a question about the catalog filtering. You said that catalog filtering is not available in sales catalog right now. What about the WebShare Commerce search framework? Does the search framework take care about the catalog filtering or does it not?
Okay, I think let me just clarify. The catalog filtering is available for sales catalog, but the run is what I did mention there was the tooling for sales catalog does not take into consideration this catalog filtering. The runtime does. So there's different, right? The tooling, let's say you filter all the monitors for a particular hosted store, but when you build your sales catalog using the tooling, you'll still see monitors available. But once you jump onto, let's say your sales catalog is built, you jump to the storefront, you won't see any monitors. So the runtime does take care of that.
Okay.
It may become confusing. That's why they're just disabled by default. Right? search function, if you use the out-of-the-box search bean, it does take into consideration the filtering.
Okay, thank you.
And we seem to have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Tony. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation as well. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site early next week. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Alex, for presenting.
This does conclude today's conference. We do thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.